Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome to Forever 35, a podcast about the things we do to take care of ourselves. I am Kate Spencer.
And I am Dori Shafrir.
And we are not experts.
No, we're not. But we are two friends who like to talk a lot about serums.
And this is a mini episode where we hear from you, we share your comments and your thoughts, and we answer your questions to the absolute best of our ability.
That being said, please remember, we are podcast hosts. We're not experts. We always encourage you to seek support first and foremost from a medical and or mental health professional as needed.
If you would like to reach us, you can send us a text or leave us a voicemail at 781-591-0390. You can also email us or send us a voice memo at forever35podcast@gmail.com.
Indeed. And you can visit our website, forever35podcast.com, for links to everything we mention on the show. Follow us on Twitter at forever35pod, on Instagram at forever35podcast. Join the Forever 35 Facebook group at facebook.com/groups/forever35podcast. The password is serums. And do sign up for our newsletter at forever35podcast.com/newsletter. Oh, and you can also check out all the prods we recommend at shopmyshelf.us/forever35.
Why am I making this noise?
I don't know.
I honestly don't know. So, Dori,
yes,
I think I'm getting into infrared saunas.
Okay, let's talk about this.
Okay.
Now, you're not new to infrared saunas, correct? Like, this is something you've done before.
Yes, I have. But I am revisiting them because anecdotally, other folks who have been dealing with long COVID, which I suspect I might have liked them in terms of like things that are helping them heal. Now, it's a little confusing because like long COVID is like, it's like a snowflake, right? It's like different for everybody. Like no two long COVIDs seem the same as far as I can tell.
Right. Now, I don't think we've talked about the fact that you think you might have long COVID on this podcast. So this might be coming
diagnosed
as a surprise to our listeners.
Diagnosed by expert doctor. Doctor with so many medical degrees, Dr. Dori Shafrir. Should we tell the folks at home how you came to diagnose me with long COVID?
Yeah, let's do that.
Let's also preface this by saying I have since seen my nurse practitioner, and she also was like, let's assume that that's what this is right now. But that was after Dr. Dori diagnosed me. I posted in a Facebook group that Dori and I are both in, and I honestly did not even dawn on me that what might be going on with my body is related at all to having COVID. That did not even dawn on me. I just listed all these things about kind of how I have been feeling. I have just not been feeling good. In fact, I think I said, I don't feel good. And part of that is because, you know, it's been over 2 months since I first had COVID. My cough hasn't gone away. I'm still really can get really congested. My menstrual listeners, you decide which one you want to hear. Cycle has been completely disrupted. in a way that really freaked me out. And, you know, I'm 43, so the immediate response to that is always like perimenopause. But I've had my hormone panels done recently, and that, and I've also had a such a frighteningly regular cycle for years that this really threw me off. I'm lethargic. I have brain fog. I have weird moments of pain, certain parts of my body. So I posted all these things and I was just like, what the fuck is wrong with me? Like, I don't understand. Like, am I just complaining about dumb shit? Like, what's wrong? I'm tired all the time. Like, et cetera, et cetera. And then in the comments, who showed up but our dear friend, Dori Shafrir. And she said, this sounds a lot like what I've heard other people describe as long COVID. Have you thought about that? And I said, no, I haven't. And then a few other people chimed in and said, this sounds long COVID-y. So lo and behold, that is kind of what I think might be going on.
Ugh.
The other thing that's been happening is I'm not digesting food well. I've been getting really bad heartburn a lot. All these things on their own could just be like, whatever. These are also things that could be a symptom of a million other things, you know? So it's very confusing. And I tend to be the kind of person that worries, like, I don't want to seem like I'm overreacting. So,
well, you know, you had mentioned the period thing to me.
That really freaked me out and is still freaking me out, to be honest.
But I hadn't really, like, I didn't know about all of your other symptoms until I saw them kind of laid out like that. And that's when I was like, wait a second. And also, I mean, the fact that you had COVID 2 months ago, you know, that I was like, again, not a doctor, although I did successfully diagnose someone else's child with hand, foot, and mouth disease based on a photo on a Facebook group. But anyway,
we don't endorse doing this, but Dori has done it.
No, but I have. Yeah, I was just, you know, because it pinged for me because I recently saw a friend and she had COVID, I want to say in February. And we were going to a concert together and we were hanging out before the concert and she was like, I don't know if I've told you about this, but I have long COVID. And I was like, oh my God, no. And she told me about what had been going on with her. And a lot of the things that she described were very similar to what Kate was describing. And I was like, like this at least feels like something that you should look into as a possible cause.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Totally.
So that was just sort of where that was coming from. But yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about this a bit on our episode with Taylor Lawrence, but I feel like people really don't understand long COVID. And like you said, it's kind of a snowflake where the symptoms are. Well, and COVID itself also, I feel like, manifests differently in different people.
Totally.
It's such a sneaky illness. And, you know, I think there's probably going to be a lot of people who are going to be dealing with this, who are already dealing with this, and who might not, like, realize what's wrong with them.
Yeah. And I think, like, one thing, too, that I guess I'd never thought about is that I have this feeling where I was like, oh, this isn't that bad. You know, like, I don't want to say, because what you hear about long COVID sounds, some people like cannot get out of bed. You know, some people are really, really sick with it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not, like, I'm functioning just fine. So you know, it's that, like, kind of like, well, just, you know, suck it up, that mentality, which in a lot of ways I was raised with, that kind of like, who cares if you're sick, you're going to school,
right?
Kind of, you know,
yeah,
like,
totally.
So it's hard for me to ever be like, I don't feel good and it might be something. But I'm now looking into, you know, there are long COVID kind of clinics. Luckily, we live in a city with a lot of medical institutions. But yeah, there's no, like, there's no regimen. And so I've gone now deep into long COVID, like Facebook groups and articles, which also you all have to take that with 100 million grains of salt, right? Because people are giving all sorts of remedies. And this is when you start getting into the like wellness rabbit hole, which is a very dark place. So I understand that an infrared sauna may be a placebo experience and it may be doing nothing. There are studies that have shown that it can have an impact on certain ailments, and lots of people in posting about their long COVID recovery have been infrared saunaing. So I just basically used it as an excuse to go sit in an infrared sauna. I was like, oh, maybe I have this. Off I go. Bye, everybody. Which also, I mean, it's hilarious because it's like a million degrees here.
Right. Infrared sauna, just sit outside and put some red lights on yourself.
Yeah, like I could just sit outside in my yard and sweat, but it's a different kind of sweat.
No, totally. It's a different kind of sweat. Totally. I've never done it, so it's interesting to hear about it.
Well, I will say I like it. And afterwards, I actually felt really good. I felt relaxed. I almost felt like I'd had a massage. My parts of my body were feeling better. I read my current romance book in the sauna, which was really nice. Just 30 minutes of, you know, unbroken reading time. So I can learn all about the orc romance that I'm reading. So that is, yeah, that's what I'm into. I mean, I guess I feel kind of vulnerable talking about this because I still don't, I have a hard time like allowing myself to lean into not being well.
Yeah.
But if anyone has experienced long COVID in their own way and wants to chat about it, shoot us an email or a VM or a text, because I feel it's very confusing. Like when you, and then you Google it and it's just like, there's just not a lot of information. Or all the information is like whack-a-doodle, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's all like, it's all anecdotal. It's all people just trying things. It's all like, you know, the other thing I'm doing is I'm trying to eat in an anti-inflammatory way.
Okay.
Which is tricky for me because food is always tricky for me. So that's something I'm also, you know, and I'm also speaking to my nutritionist about how to go about doing that in a way that is healthy.
This is a lot, Kate.
It's a lot. I mean, essentially long COVID, from what I understand, it's an autoimmune disorder, right? Yeah. So I've been talking to other friends who have other autoimmune diseases, like fibromyalgia, Hashimoto's, you know, just to kind of understand what that means, because I've never dealt with an autoimmune thing before. Have you?
I mean, this is what, no, but this is what, you know, Megan O'Rourke's book is about this.
I should go back and reread that book, actually.
Yeah. And she also talks about, you know, kind of the frustration of having all of these symptoms that don't necessarily add up to a recognizable diagnosis, but feeling like off in her body.
Totally. That's totally what it is. I have felt so off.
Yeah.
It's felt like I don't know how to be in my body right now. If something feels wrong, it's really weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's what's up with me. Sorry to be such a downer.
No, it's okay. I'm glad we're talking about this.
Then there's a part of me too that like, is this all in my head? Am I making it up? Which is literally just my own internalized patriarchal beliefs. You know?
Well, I mean, I think that like this is also something Megan writes about, is like this feeling like you're being gaslighted by yourself.
Yes. Totally. I'm gaslighting myself.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, you know, on a different note, Dory, we have some fun topics to talk about with listeners today.
We do. I'm excited to get into it.
Yeah. So maybe we take a break. We take a pause.
Let's do it.
And then we'll come back and we'll hear from some friends.
All right. BRB.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
I think it's safe to say that we have suffered through bras. We've been uncomfortable in them. We've devoted whole episodes to finding good ones. But I'm here to say enough is enough. Enough. Enough.
I mean, drawn the line. Dory, have I ever told you what I did in college? When I needed a bra to wear with a fancy dress.
What?
I cut the top of pantyhose and then I duct taped that to my chest.
Oh, that sounds uncomfortable.
Because I didn't have honey love when I was in college.
No. Well, we are here to say no more being uncomfortable. With Honey Love's bras, you will wonder why it took so long to make something so comfortable and so supportive. There's no underwire, but through some kind of wonderful magic, they manage to not sacrifice lift, all while making it in a fabric that's so comfortable, you barely know it's there, especially the crossover bra. I wear one of these almost every day. I'm wearing one right now because it's so comfortable and it easily fits into my life. But if you like a breathable and versatile legging, Honeylove has you covered on that front too. Plus, they have tanks, shapewear, and their V-bra that has molded cups still without the underwire to keep you from getting that dreaded uniboob effect other more relaxed bras tend to give you. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/forever. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/forever. After your purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them and please support our show and tell them we send you. Treat yourself to Honeylove because you deserve it.
You know, one thing I think is really kind of interesting about skin, my skin, but all skin, is that like what it needs now in my 40s is not what I needed in my 30s.
Totally.
Definitely not what I needed in my 20s.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But like, how are you supposed to know what your skin needs?
It's hard. It's hard to know.
Especially when there's just like so many products out there, the overwhelm is real. It's a struggle to even know how to get the results you want, what products to start with. This is why we're super excited to partner with Apostrophe. Apostrophe is a prescription skincare company that offers science-backed medications that are clinically proven to help. I have used Apostrophe. I love it. They will pair you with a board-certified dermatologist who literally creates a personalized treatment plan for your skin. I have done this a few times now. It is so easy to do their online consultation. You upload photos. And like within a few weeks, I had done the consultation and received my treatment plan and my product.
Amazing.
And that is how I became a tretinoin gal. I love the tretinoin that they sent me. I love their sunscreen. Both products have been amazing on my skin. And you, Forever 35 listeners, can get a special deal from Apostrophe. You can get your first visit for only $5. That's at apostrophe.com/forever35 when you use our code forever35. Now, that is a savings of $15. I like that. This code is only available to Forever 35 listeners. So to get started, just go to apostrophe.com/forever35 and click Get Started, and then use our code FOREVER35 at sign up, and you will get your first visit for only $5. Thank you, Apostrophe, for sponsoring this episode.
All right. So, you know, the topic of gender reveal parties certainly did not
lead to as many listener emails and voicemails and texts as our previous episode of, our previous mini ep about debt did. But we did hear from quite a few people about this.
Yeah. Take it away.
So, all right. Here is a first email. Writing in to share some additional thoughts on gender reveal parties, but totally understand if you want to leave this topic be. No, we do not. First of all, I completely understand the perspective of the listener and you both when it comes to these parties. Before I got pregnant, I felt the
can
exact...
Can I interject? I'm sorry. Yes. The listener that we heard from is non-binary.
Yes.
And really does not feel comfortable with the entire concept of gender reveal parties and was asking how to approach that, knowing that they have friends who will be or are pregnant and possibly having these parties. Sorry, I just wanted to add that.
No, thank you for that reminder. When I found out I was pregnant, we were so excited to tell our families, especially since for my parents and siblings, this was the first time they would be grandparents / uncles / aunts. We thought of cute ways to tell them and couldn't wait to hit that 12-week mark where we decided we would be comfortable sharing the news. Then the morning sickness hit and hit hard. I became so sick in the first trimester and had to completely miss every dinner / gathering, etc. for nearly 2 months. Because of this, we decided to tell our immediate families early. Instead of it being purely happy news, when we told them it was more along the lines of, I am so sick and need support. On top of this, one of my tests revealed I was a genetic carrier for a disease, and in addition to feeling so sick, I was so stressed waiting for the follow-up results. Because of this, we decided to do additional testing, and as a result, found out the sex of the baby around the 14-week mark. Even though I went into pregnancy thinking these were the weirdest parties ever, when we received the news, I kind of felt like, could this be a do-over to share the news with our family? We decided to get a cake revealing the sex and invited only immediate family to, quote, find out and just be together to celebrate the pregnancy. Around this time, my anti-nausea meds also started really working. We kept the whole thing off social media, only shared the news afterwards with friends and family who specifically said they wanted to know, and gave our family an out in the casual invite in case they did not want to participate. We also made it really clear why we had changed our minds, that this felt like some news we could share with them in person and have a redo on the pregnancy reveal for us. The actual gender reveal was a pretty small and insignificant part of the small gathering. I'm not sharing this trying to defend myself for my choices or combat Dory's description of these parties as being disgusting, but more to say for anyone considering a gender reveal party to make sure you understand why this milestone is important to you and also be conscientious of your friends and family and what they might be struggling with, infertility, gender identity, etc., and give them out and out and to think carefully before you splash this news and any pregnancy news really all over social media. Basically, my advice here is to, quote, not be an asshole, but also just wanted to share this perspective since I get that learning the sex of the baby often comes after a period of immense physical and emotional stress in pregnancy, and it's hard not to be excited and want to share. Sorry this is so long. Just wanted to share. Hope the listener's friends are respectful with this news.
Hmm. Really interesting food for thought here.
What are your thoughts, Kate?
You know, it's so... I had actually had the genetic carrier thing come up in my testing, and we found out my husband did not, so that was, he had to come in and get tested for this one genetic disease. But I understand, and also my first pregnancy, especially I spotted a ton, and there was a period where like it was just kind of like, is the child growing? Like it was just, there's just so much emotional stuff happening. And then the physical aspect of being pregnant is freaking exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I guess like this idea, I think it can be so important to celebrate this if that is necessary for you. I still struggle with why genders is made a part of it at all.
Okay, this is where I am too, Kate. This listener even writes, the actual gender reveal was a pretty small and insignificant part of the small gathering. Then why do it? Why make that any part of the gathering?
Honestly, I'm confident, and gender reveal parties are all fueled by Instagram and social media. Like, I don't
think
they didn't.
But this person said they kept it off social media.
I understand. And but just the creation.
Oh, you mean the influence. Yes. I see.
The inception. When I had a child in 2010, I do not recall this being a thing.
Right.
And I believe it is only because our lives are now so performative and these gender reveal parties have been turned into these like spectacles mm-hmm. and there's an action that takes place and a reveal, you know, it's a story. Like there's a beginning, middle, and end. And mm-hmm. people love to consume those. So I just think this didn't exist. And sometimes things that didn't exist do exist now because of social media. And I'm like, great. And other times that happens and I'm like, there's still no need. And that's where I land on the idea of gender reveal parties. There's just tell everybody what the baby's assigned gender is, you know, just tell them.
And like, I feel like if you want to have a party to celebrate the pregnancy, have a party to celebrate the pregnancy. Call it a second trimester party. Call it whatever the fuck you want. But like, I guess I'm with you, Kate. Like, I just don't see why the gender has to be any part of it at all. So, and you know, the other thing that I guess I would say, like, is like, you know, you say this felt like some news we could share with them in person. Like, hey, like you just said, you can still share the news.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just don't think it requires it to be a gender reveal party or there to be a cake or that to be the centerpiece of, or the motivation for the party. I guess I would just like urge everyone to just kind of reconsider their thinking on this and like reconsider their impulse to make that choice. So
yeah, and even I was wrong. Gender reveal, the first quote like documented gender reveal party was in 2008 and the blogger who documented it like now regrets it.
You know, yes, like, yes, yes, yes. I forgot about that, but yeah.
Right? Remember that? They wrote mm-hmm. a whole piece on it.
Yes, totally. Totally. So.
Mm. Well, all should right. we hear from another listener?
Yes. Short and sweet. This listener wrote, agree with everything you had to say, and just one more thing. Even if this is a thing, no one cares more about the gender of your baby than you. Literally no one. Save us all the annoyance of having to fake enthusiasm.
Salty.
Oh, gosh. This really gave me a chuckle.
I actually disagree with this listener. Yes, there are people who care more, and they're the people of older generations who kind of cling to this stuff a little bit more than the younger generations do.
Kate, good mm-hmm. point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Boomers, I'm looking at you.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is a lot of pressure to pinhole a baby's gender identity. To pinpoint a baby's gender identity and to then create this baby's existence before it's born based on what that assigned gender is. And a lot of, I imagine there's also pressure to have these parties from other people in one's life. You know, maybe it's not important to you, but maybe it is important to one of your parents or your in-laws or who knows, you know? All right.
All right. One last text before we take a break. Kat and Dora, I would like to tack on to your rant about gender reveal parties, which I totally agree with, by the way. But I hate the phrase 10 fingers and 10 toes. My daughter was born with a limb difference. She was born without her left hand. Not all babies are born with 10 fingers and 10 toes, and my daughter is beautiful just the way she is. We can celebrate babies no matter their gender or how many limbs they have.
Definitely. 100%.
This also reminds me of you know, when Chris Pratt posted about having a healthy baby.
Oh, God. We've never uttered his name on this podcast.
I know.
Yet.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. I forgive you.
And now he's like come out like all like whining about how he was like attacked for that. And it's just like he is the worst. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Anyway, and his child with his first wife, Anna Faris, you know, was born with some disabilities, which from my understanding. And I have also kind of been learning more about saying things like, I just hope the baby's healthy.
Interesting convo, Dor.
Very interesting. I think so too.
All right. Well, shall we take a break and come back with a slight shift in gears, although one that is still kind of about family and expectation?
Yeah, let's do that.
It shouldn't be so hard or expensive to find furniture that exudes elegance, sophistication, and a touch of luxury. And we're happy to say that today's sponsor, Article, makes getting quality furniture as easy as checking the pieces out online. Thanks to their online-only model, they have some really great manageable prices. Article believes in delightful design for every home, so you can get to creating a space that truly reflects your personal style. I now have a space that is quite outfitted in Article, and I have to tell you how not just like seamless, but truly enjoyable the ordering and shipping process was. It was extremely fast. It's affordable, very convenient because I got to pick the delivery time, and they sent me updates every step of the way. It was like they knew that I was an obsessive checker on shipping, and they were like, we see you, we honor you, and we're going to support that journey for you. As Dory knows, I have a beautiful bench from Article right when you enter my home. I have some gorgeous planters, and then my favorite, my kind of like surprise favorite piece from Article are the blankets I have gotten for my sofa that my family all hogs.
Oh.
Including my dogs. My dogs love these blankets so they're like throws on our couch. The dogs try to monopolize them.
Dogs are such blanket hogs.
They know a soft blanket when they see one, I gotta say. So their endorsement, honestly, their endorsement says more than mine ever could. That's how soft these blankets are. Article has all kind of curated furniture from mid-century modern or coastal to industrial, Scandi, boho. So no matter what style you're leaning toward, they have got something for you. I mean, you could really do like every room in your house in a different kind of style if you wanted to. And with Article's team of designers, no matter what piece or how many, you're sure to find the perfect balance between style, quality, and price. Article is offering Forever 35 listeners $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. To claim it, visit article.com/forever, and the discount will be automatically applied at checkout. That's article.com/forever for $50 off your first purchase of $100 or more. All right. Hello, Dory.
Hello, Kate.
Here's an email we received. I was listening to the most recent mini-up where there's a discussion of name changing, and I have a question for something that has come up lately in my family. I also did not change my name, and when we had kids, it really bothered me to not have my name included. I grew those babies, and I did all the shots for IVF. I want my identity represented. I lobbied hard for a double-barreled last names, both our last names, no hyphen. I think this is a really nice compromise and way to include both my husband and myself, but the downside is our kids have different last names from both of us, and their last names are very long. And people pretty regularly still just remove my last name and use my husband's. This has happened several times recently with my toddler. Most recently yesterday when he received a birthday present addressed to him using only my husband's name. And it makes me so mad. Am I overreacting? Should I care less about what last name people use? How did you guys decide on your kid's last name?
I don't think you're overreacting.
Yeah, I don't think so. People do this to me. I didn't take my husband's last name, and I still get letters addressed to Kate King, which is a very nice name. It's just not
my
name.
I was going to say, kind of nice name. Yeah. I definitely have gotten things addressed to Mr. and Mrs. Matt Myra. And I'm like, nope, not my name. Sorry. Yeah, I don't think this is overreacting. I don't think you need to care less about what last name people use. It's not their correct name. All that said, I kind of decided not to hyphenate partly because of this. And I just like didn't want to have to make my kid deal with a hyphenated last name, but like that was just my decision. So, I don't know, Kate, what about you?
Honestly, I didn't really care much about what last name my kids had. Mm. We just went with my husband's, I think, just because that is what society told me to do. It just was like, okay, I don't care. You know, I don't know why this did not, for whatever reason, wasn't a thing that I was, you know, up about. But I do have so many different friends, and my kids have different friends who have done really unique things with last names, combining last names, creating new last names, giving one kid one parent's last name and another kid a different parent's last name, giving in a heterosexual relationship the kids the wife's last name. I mean, I've seen all of it, and I think it is all fine. And I also think it is appropriate to correct people the same way if someone, and it's unfortunate that it falls on you, the same way that when someone mispronounces a name, it falls on the name owner to change, to correct people, you know? But I think it's valid. You know, our names are a big part of our identity in a lot of ways. Or if it is a big part of your identity, I think you are right in your desire to have people get it right.
Yeah.
That's where I stand. All right. Well, you want to hear from this other listener, Dory?
I would love
this one to you.
All righty. So the text. I took my husband's last name. My parents are divorced and my mom went back to her maiden name. So I really grappled with the legacy of the patriarchal system and feelings of disconnect with my last name. I preferred to choose to take my partner's name rather than stick to the name from my dad's side of the family. I also thought about it first by myself, then talked to my partner, and he was 100% supportive of either way I went on the decision. But there's a part of me that is happy he was happy I took his name, that we were choosing together. And I kept my maiden name as my middle name, and we are giving our first child, due in November, my maiden name as their middle name. Like you both said, every person should do whatever feels right to them, and that's different for every person. Lots of love to the listener and you both from Wisconsin.
Okay. Point taken.
Mm-hmm. And now for a counterpoint.
Boy. Here we go. Love a counterpoint. To the listener who asked about changing their last name, don't do it. All caps. If you're questioning it all, just don't. I didn't want to change my last name. I hyphenated because my partner wanted me to change my name. It never felt like my name. Then we divorced and I changed my name back as fast as possible. I will never change my name again. Don't change your name.
I really appreciated this perspective.
I mean, yeah.
You know, strong feelings. People have strong feelings.
I really appreciate this.
So, listen, thank you to everyone who wrote in about both of these topics.
God,
we appreciate you.
Yeah.
We liked hearing all of these perspectives. And yeah. We'll talk to you all
later.
Bye.